2 Kings chapter 6. And our text for this evening is the first verse of this chapter. As I've already mentioned, our subject tonight is God will build his church. And that truth is revealed to us here in this opening verse of 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. How many times have we encouraged ourselves with the words of the Savior when he said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, verse 18. And contrary to the teachings of the Church of Rome, the Lord was not referring to Peter when he spoke about the church being built upon this rock. The Lord could not possibly have been referring to Peter, because you take the name Peter. Peter means a stone. A stone. Now, a stone is something that you can pick up in your hand and cast it away from you. But a rock is something very different. Now, you can build a house upon a rock, but you'll not build a house upon a stone. Matthew chapter 7. There we read about the building of a house. And the Lord speaks about that house being built upon a rock. Matthew chapter 7. And we read there in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. It's the same word for rock as we have in Matthew 16. The Lord said he'd build the church upon the rock. It's the same word. And the Lord here says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for or because it was founded upon a rock. So it was a good foundation. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, but the wise man built his house upon the rock. In Matthew 27, turn to Matthew 27, and verse 60, same word again is used. Verse 60, with reference to Joseph of Arimathea claiming the body of Christ, laying him in his own tomb. Verse 60. And he laid it in his own new tomb, listen, which he had hewn out in the rock. That's a far cry from a stone. Here Joseph of Arimathea, with his own hands, had cut a sepulchre, place of burial, out of the rock. Again, it's the same word. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Was he referring to Peter? No, Peter means a stone. You cannot build upon a stone. You cannot hew out a sepulchre out of a stone. It must be out of a rock. Same word again is used in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Here we read the word. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, that phrase we considered this morning, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. Same word. That followed them, and that rock was Christ. No mistake. Upon this rock I will build my church. And here we are told Christ is the rock. The rock that did follow the children of Israel. So the rock upon which the church is built is not Peter. Christ is the rock. That's clear from Scripture. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Or as Dr. Paisley would often say, all other ground is shamrock. And so it is. We're built upon Christ, the immovable rock. So Christ is the builder of his church. Christ is the base or the foundation upon which his church is built. And the Lord building his church is pictured for us here in these words before us. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And he said, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood, and they started to build. They were expanding. The school of the prophets was expanding. So much so that it posed a difficulty. That's where we begin. Let us notice, first of all, the difficulty. The sons of the prophets came to realize that they faced a great difficulty because they told Elisha, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. There's the difficulty. What does this speak to us of? Speaks to us, first of all, of progress. Progress. The sons of the prophets, and indeed Elisha, had witnessed progress in the school of the prophets. The number of those coming for training to the school of the prophets had increased so much that the place was too straight or too small. So the sons of the prophet said, we need to build another place. We need to build a bigger place. That speaks to us of progress. Now, regarding this progress, this was a witness for the Lord. The fact that the school of the prophets was growing was a great witness to the greatness of God and brought glory to his name. God's work was expanding. God's work was increasing. More and more sons of the prophets were coming to this school where Elisha was their master and he did the teaching. And we say that it was a witness to the greatness of God because Israel at this time was steeped in idolatry and in apostasy. Many who once worshipped God, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had turned away from the worship of God, Jehovah, and who are now worshipping idols. Elijah faced the same problem. He thought he was alone. He thought there was nobody else taking their stand for the Lord. Until the Lord pointed out to him there were 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. But in Elijah's day and in Elisha's day, it was a day of apostasy and an idolatry and all that goes with idolatry. And yet what do we find? We find that in the midst of that, in the midst of apostasy, in the midst of idolatry, the work of God was expanding. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates of hell in Elisha's day was idolatry and apostasy. Did the idol worshippers, did the state of apostasy in the nation stop the onward march of the school, the expansion of the school? No. And there's nothing has changed. God today will build his church in spite of the apostasy, in spite of this day in which we live. Paul spoke about that before the Lord returns, there'll be a great falling away first. That's where we are today. The word falling away is the Greek word apostasy. We're in the day of apostasy now. There's a great falling away. We see it all around us. But the Lord will still build his church. The spirit of Antichrist may be abroad, but the Lord will still build his church. And believer, we can take great comfort and encouragement from that. Here we are in Port Hope, endeavoring by God's grace to take our stand and to be true to the blood and true to the book. And the Lord tells us, I will build my church. No matter how hard your town is, no matter how difficult your district as far as the things of God are concerned, the Lord says, I will build my church. I will build my church. In spite of the opposition. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 16. In 1 Corinthians 16. And I always take great encouragement from these words of Paul. Paul says in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door, an effectual, a great door, a door of opportunity, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So a door of opportunity was opened to Paul. And we know that in that place called Ephesus, the Lord was pleased to build a church. The Lord raised up a congregation who Paul ministered to and preached to. And here we are told, he says, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door of the effectual is opened unto me. I have an opportunity here to preach the word. But then he says, and there are many adversaries. See? There may have been many adversaries, but the Lord still opened the door. I will build my church. And the God of heaven built his church in Ephesus, and the gates of hell sought to oppose that building. But the building went on. I'm not talking about bricks and mortar. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. In that place that was given over to idolatry and the worship of Diana, Lord said, or Paul said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. But the Lord still opened the door. That's the point. The Lord still opened the door and Paul still preached the word. And the work of God was established in Ephesus. Believer, let us take heart in this. I have been told, and I have heard other ministers say, oh, well, apostasy, stand against apostasy is not really an issue today. Yes, it is. Perhaps, and indeed, I needn't say perhaps, it is more of an issue today than it was when this denomination came into being. That's what brought this denomination into being, was the apostasy of the Irish Presbyterian Church, who stood against the preaching of the gospel in a gospel campaign. And as a result, elders left that church and come out, and the Free Church was formed. And ever since that day, this denomination has sought to take a stand against apostasy and against religious compromise. And nothing has changed. We are in a day of apostasy today. And we still need to preach separation. And we still need to take a separated stand. No compromise with apostate ministers. It's still the same issue. That's why we are called free Presbyterians. Because we're free from any association or links with the World Council of Churches. What's the purpose of the World Council of Churches? To bring all churches together and make the Pope of Rome the head of one world church. And many of the major denominations are in the World Council of Churches. That's why we're called free Presbyterians, because we're free from any association with the World Council of Churches. Many adversaries. But the Lord says, I will build my church. I'll still build my church. And we see it here, pictured for us in the expansion of this school of the prophets. Whatever form or shape the gates of hell come in, God will still build his church. Song of Solomon 6 verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Who is she? The question is asked. The answer is simple. It's the church. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? Where does the moon get its light from? From the sun. Where does the church get its light from? From the sun of righteousness. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. That's the church of Jesus Christ. We should take heart in this. This is what the church is. This is how God describes his church. And the Lord says, I will build my church. The church is on the march from victory on to victory. Because you know something? The captain of our salvation has never known defeat. Never. You see, believer, we're on the winning side. We're on the side of victory. Christ has never known defeat. Oh, they thought they had defeated him when they took him down from the cross and they saw him placed in a tomb. But glory to God, 3 days later, he rose victorious. You have here not only the witness, it was a witness of the church, it was a witness to the goodness and greatness of God, that he will still build his church no matter how great and fierce the opposition. He will still build his church. There is here also the wonder about the church. If you look there at the words of verse 1, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. They said to Elisha, the place is too strait for us. But look at what they said before that. They said to Elisha, behold now, place is too strait for us. It's almost as if the sons of the prophet suddenly realized, we're in a situation now where we need to expand. We need to have another building. Behold, now. It's as if it almost took them by surprise how the work had expanded and grown and prospered. One of our ministers a number of years ago preached at the Easter Convention and the Martyrs Memorial, and his subject was, God is a God of surprises. And so he is. God is a God of surprises, and it would appear that God had surprised the sons of the prophets, for they said, behold, now the place is too strait for us. It's as if it came upon them all of a sudden. And this reminds us that when things appear to be at a standstill in the church of Jesus Christ, God is at work, and God can suddenly give the increase and give the expansion. Because you see, our God is always at work. Always. It's like going to Walmart there, especially at this time of the year, and buying a sapling. And you put it into the ground, you plant it, and you look at it. And for a number of weeks, you can't see any change. And you say, I wonder, is it growing? Oh, it's growing all right, but you can't see what's happening because it's underground. You can't see those roots grow and spread out. And sometimes we look upon the church like looking upon a sapling and you say, it's not growing. Ah, but it is. The church is growing. We may not be able to see it. Just like the sapling, one day the leaves will appear. And one day fruit will be taken from that tree. So it is with the church. Christ said, I will build my church. In spite of the opposition of the moral or spiritual state of our nation and of our town, I will build my church. Sometimes the Lord builds his church little by little. The Bible tells us that. Other times, it will happen suddenly. There will be a sudden increase. In 2 Chronicles 29, verse 36, we read there about what took place in the days of Hezekiah. We know how Hezekiah was a godly man, one of the most godliest men in Judah at the time. Whenever Hezekiah came to the throne, the worship of God had completely broken down. Israel had turned its back upon God, or Judah had turned its back upon God. Then Hezekiah sought to put things right. He did what he could. Established again the worship of Jehovah. Removed all of the idols. Put the priests in their proper places. And suddenly God moved. And under Hezekiah, revival came. Listen to this. And Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people that God had prepared, the people for the thing was done suddenly. There's the proof. The thing was done suddenly. After long years of idolatry, long, long years of a people turning their back upon God, suddenly God worked. Suddenly God moved. And suddenly God gave the increase. And suddenly God brought prosperity. Has God changed? Not at all. Remember, I will build my church. And whether he does it little by little or suddenly, that's in God's hands and under his control. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. You know how the apostles and others were met in the upper room, waiting for the coming of the Holy Ghost. And we read, and suddenly, they had been waiting for some time. But when the Holy Spirit came, he came suddenly. There's it again. He came suddenly, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And Acts 2, verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and it was done suddenly. 3,000 souls in one day were added to the church. You know, believer, God can move just as suddenly here. Let's not lose heart. Let us never say, oh, it'll never happen here. It couldn't happen here. Why? Why could it not happen? Has God turned a blind eye to the work in Port Hope? Has God put this town of Port Hope out of his mind? No. His church is here. A body of believers are here. And the Lord says, I will build my church. God says, or Paul said, God gives the increase. God gives the increase. And this adding to the church came about suddenly. In one day. Regarding the progress, we have considered the witness and the wonder. And then we notice also the Word and the church. We just noted there that verse in Acts 2, verse 41. Listen to it again. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They that gladly received the word. That's important. That is very important. Peter had preached the word that day. And 3,000 souls, 3,000 living stones were added to the building of Christ's church, added to his body. Likewise, Elisha represented the word of God to the sons of the prophets. Because when Elisha spoke, he spoke as thus saith the Lord. When he ministered to the people of the nation, it was thus saith the Lord. He gave the people the word. He preached the word unto them. And whenever he met with his students, the sons of the prophets in the school, he was teaching them things about the word. He was giving them the word. And upon giving them the word of God, the sons of the prophets suddenly realized and said, behold, now the place is too straight for us. What had happened? In the midst of this great apostasy, in the midst of this idolatry, there was one man at least who was giving to his students the word of God, and God blessed them. God blessed them, and the work prospered, and the work made progress, and there was expansion. We come back to the word. The Lord builds his church through the faithful preaching of the word. I have been hearing talk of late about suggestions that our church needs to change. Suggestions that we need to change to make us a little more acceptable. And the whole talk is, we're losing our young people. We need the chance to hold on to the young people. I hear this over and over and over and over. And for me personally, it gets a little bit monotonous. When I came in, my wife and I came into the Free Church in the mid-60s. We've been in the church for over 40 years. There was never any talk then. We need to hold on to the young people. Never any talk. Why? Because the young people were attending the church where the word was preached. And they were coming to hear the word. They wanted the word. And as the word was preached, the truths of that word were applied to the hearts of adults and young people. And young people wanted to live for God. And the suggestions have been made, amongst other things. We need to change. We need to change our methods of evangelization. We need to change our men. That is, we need to have men in the pulpit who can relate to young people. And then we come to the big one. We need to change our music. We need to change our music. Let's have more contemporary Christian music. You could leave out the word Christian, because the stuff that goes under the name contemporary Christian music, to me, my eyes, there's nothing Christian about it. Listen to some of this contemporary music, and then if you have the misfortune to listen to something that goes on in concert halls, you'll not see any different. There's no difference. No difference whatsoever. Oh, I have to change the music. Well, if we have to make these changes in order for God to build his church, then I have to say something. My understanding of the teaching of Scripture since I came into the ministry has been completely wrong. I have been completely wrong for 40 years. And for the length of time I've been in the ministry. Because I understand if the Lord is going to bless a church and he's going to build a church, he will not do it through music. He will do it through the preaching of the word. What did we just read in Acts 2? They which gladly received the word. There's no mention of Peter, who preached on the day of Pentecost, giving them a concert. No music is mentioned at all. He preached the word. He preached the word. He preached the word and the word only. I have always believed that. And I have believed the Lord will bless sooner or later, little by little or suddenly, God will bless the preaching of the word. And whatever others say or think, I will always believe that. Or else this Bible's not true. But it is. And how often have we and others made reference to the words of Paul in his letter, second letter, to a young preacher, to Timothy, a young minister. And here we have in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, among the final words, the last words, inspired words written by Paul. Now, if you knew that you were going to die, because Paul knew it, the time of my departure is at hand, he said. If you knew that you had only a matter of days left, what would you write down in that last letter of yours if you were writing to someone? Because you wouldn't have an opportunity to speak to them again and give them advice again, because you know a couple of days you'd be gone. Well, here's Paul. That's how he was. The time of his departure was at hand. And what did he say to a young preacher He said, I charge thee therefore before God, I charge thee, this was no light thing, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But listen, Timothy, you keep preaching the word. That's it. Keep preaching the word. That's how I have always understood those words of Paul to Timothy. And I think when we were going through 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think the way I understood and interpret the words of Paul were correct. Because 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5 we read, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. So Paul was saying, I preached the word, but that word was accompanied by the Holy Ghost. I preached the word, and the Holy Ghost used the word. Again, it was the word. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, and from you sounded out the word. I think that's plain and clear enough. The Lord says, I will build my church. And God builds his church through the preaching of the word. It's not new methods. It's not new methods we need. The whole thing now as well, we'll just sit down and have a wee cup of coffee and we'll give you the word. The Lord said, preach the word. The Lord blessed on the day of Pentecost through the preaching of the word. It's always the preaching. The Lord Jesus went about preaching and teaching. It was always the preaching. And the Lord, or Paul, said that it was through the foolishness of preaching that God would save the lost. It's always the preaching. That's how I have always understood it. Yes, I know that these churches that have their contemporary music, big crowds, so, oh, God must be blessing them. Well, I would ask, what are they going for? Is it the preaching of the word, or is it the music? And you know what comes along with contemporary music? Contemporary dress, too. Whenever the high priests went before the Lord, representing the nation, the high priest had to wear his holy garments because he's going before God. A lot of people seem to forget that. If they ever had an opportunity to be awarded an OBE and they had to go to Buckingham Palace to collect their reward, would they go in jeans and t-shirt? Because that's how a lot of people professing Christians are attending church today, in jeans and t-shirts. I'm talking about Christians. I wouldn't care if we could fill this church with people unsaved, people out of this town wearing jeans and t-shirts. I would welcome them with open arms. But I'm talking about God's people who go to church to worship God, to worship the King. And when the high priest went before the Lord, he was properly attired. God demanded it. I've been lately told about a church that many young people are flocking to. I was given the name of the church, so I went on to view their web page just to see for myself. And under the heading, it was addressed to people visiting the church, under the heading, "What may you expect?" In other words, you go to the church, well, what will you receive? First paragraph, first sentence. This is what it said. "Generally speaking, our service begins with worship led by a band." Not a choir. A band. Now you all know, for my salvation, I was into rock music. And in her unsaved days, my future wife then and I would go to concerts. Remember one night we went to the King's Hall at 8 o'clock at night, and there was a concert there of about six bands. Chubby Checker was there that night. That's who we went to hear. And there were six or seven bands, and it wasn't over to 4 in the morning. And we had this billing of all these bands that were there. And so when it comes to a band, I associate a band with a concert hall, with a stage. I do not associate a band with a church service. Not now, not ever. And when my wife and I got saved, that was the end of the dances, that was the end of the concert, that was the end of the discos. No more bands. So I don't need to go to church where I'm going to be faced with a band again in the house of God. I could go on with regard to that matter. I just wonder, why do young people go there? The church only has one service as well, by the way, on the Lord's Day. You can go in the morning and do whatever you want the rest of the day. You don't really need to observe the Sabbath day. I don't believe the Lord builds his church in those ways and based on those pillars. I believe the Lord builds his church and honors the preaching of the word. I've always believed that. And there's nothing will change my mind on that. Nothing. Should we be here for however long, there'll be half a dozen people sitting here, I'll still preach the word by God's grace. There'll never be a band in this place. There'll never be contemporary so-called Christian music. Never. We will worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness. It seems to be a word that's lost from our vocabulary now these days. Holiness. We press on and quickly. We see then the problem. Sons of the prophets declared, "The place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." The word "straight" there means It's interesting what the word means, really means. It means, as you can guess, it's too narrow. It's too small. It also means close. And so you have the thought here of the sons of the prophets and really sitting on top of one another. They were so close. There was no room. They were so close. And the place where they dwelt was too small, too narrow, and too close to each other. Now, of course, that's a problem we would all like. That's a problem I'd love to have here. The minister, of course, you come across many problems, but this is one we would look forward to having. And you know, when you think of it, when it comes to the Lord blessing his people and blessing his church, very often it results in problems. You turn to Luke chapter 5, and here's an example. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 4, the Lord has been ministering at the Sea of Tiberias, or Galilee. In verse 4, Luke 5, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We pointed out before, the Lord said, let down your nets, plural. Peter let down a net, singular. He really didn't believe the Lord. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. There was their problem. The Lord had blessed their fishing venture so much, they were faced with a problem. Their net broke. Here the Lord had blessed the school of the prophets so much, there was no room. They needed to expand. And then you have in the last place the presence. Look carefully at the words. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now the place where we dwell with thee. Where we dwell with thee. Do you think the school would have expanded if Elisha hadn't been with them? The place is too straight for us where we dwell with thee. Elisha was there. Elisha was God's man. And we always pray for the presence of the God man. You see, in apostasy, you can write Ichabod above the door. The glory has departed. There is no reviving for apostasy. None. And here we find the Lord blessed the school of the prophets because a man of God was there. And with the man of God was the God of heaven himself. The Lord will build his church, and he'll build his church in those places where the Lord's presence is found. You recall the night that Jacob slept, and awakening from his sleep, after his dream, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he called that place Bethel, the house of God. God was there. And God was in that house as far as Jacob was concerned. And believer, we must always have God with us here. We'll never see anything done unless we have the Lord's presence. That's when we'll see the growth and expansion, whether it be little by little. Let's hold on to that. Let's not be discouraged. Or the Lord may come suddenly. But nevertheless, however he does it, the Lord says, I will build my church. I'll do it. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the apostasy, in spite of all the false cults and the false teachings and all the rest of it, I will build my church. Let's hold on to that. Let's pray to that end and keep praying. May not always to pray, not to faint, not to give up, not to cave in, not to leave your post, as the word means. And when the Lord says, don't give up, that must mean the Lord is going to bless. If he says, keep at it, well, at the end of the day, the Lord will bless. May the Lord keep us at it. We mentioned at our brother Tom McGarvey's funeral service something that Tom always said to me at the door. If I was going away to preach at a mission or wherever, he would always say to me, he says, brother, you do the preaching and I'll do the praying. And I knew wherever I would go, I would have prayer support. That's what we need. Preach. God will give the increase to the glory of his name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Father and our gracious, loving God, we bless thee. How thou didst give the increase there in the school of the prophets. And how, O Lord, the man of God was there in the midst of that school. And because of the man of God, thy Lord does give the increase. And Lord, it's the God-man that we ever want in this place. And we believe because of the God-man, then, Lord, thou must bless. If Christ is here, then, Lord, thou must bless. Thou hast blessed us in many, many ways. And we thank thee for all those blessings. Lord, be pleased. Then, in the building of thy church, Lord, give the increase to the glory of thy name. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. May we go home rejoicing in the greatness of our God. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, until Jesus comes or calls us home. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and reign with us now and forevermore.